human interaction is a presentation. Each time you talk to someone, you're presenting yourself, pushing your image, making that person see you in a certain way, persuading that person to see things the way you want them to be seen. Clearly, mastering the art of presentation is indispensable. As you conquer presentation effectiveness, you will learn how to instill in people the desire to go where you direct them. Now, there's truth in the old saying, it's not what you say, but how you say it. The way you present something can have an enormous consequence. Regard presentation skill as an ability that you can learn. Hi, I'm Tony Geary. I'm going to talk to you today about life is a series of presentations. I want to bring this to life for you today. Great presenters, no matter what their purpose, have a few things in common. They are careful about their appearance. They prepare effectively. They understand that inspiration might be nice, but skill and hard work carry the day. They study the audience to understand how the members want to be addressed. They really care. I devoted my entire career to helping people improve presentation effectiveness. Matter of fact, I fly all over the globe helping top executives, high achievers, craft and shape their own personal brand, how they present, and all the different ways. I fly people in to my backyard, to my Success Acceleration studio, and we go over boardroom-type presentations. We go over one-on-one-type presentations, sales, interviews, all different types of presentations each and every day. And today, I want to share with you 20 years of experience that would help you be a better presenter. Now, you say to yourself, maybe, what's the benefits? Think about presenting for a minute and confidence. We all want to be more confident. When do we make our first formal presentation? Oftentimes, when we're 3 or 4 years old, in school, we make our first formal presentation as a show and tell. And how fellow students and how teachers respond to us starts affecting the way people see us. And it starts affecting our confidence. And throughout our entire lives, how we present and how people respond back to us is how we see ourselves, and that affects our confidence. Our respect is another benefit. Don't we want to be respected as we grow our careers, no matter what the situation that you're in? Credibility. We can have a great message, a great product, a great service, but being able to present where we grow our credibility, huge, huge benefit. How about buy-in? Oftentimes, we're persuading people to our way of thinking, to buy our product or service or to come in and join our direction. Buy-in, a huge benefit. Now, let's start with what you believe for a minute. I want to talk to you about a concept that I put in the first book. I put it in the first chapter of a book I wrote a few years ago called Success Acceleration. Great book. I've had lots of great response. And this first chapter really talks about how we see things. And if we really want to grow in any type of success, we have to first check and see how we believe about things, how we believe about presentations. How do we see presentations? So here we go. You have a person. Here you are over here, and here's the world. The way the person sees the world, the way you see the world, is through a window. And the way the world responds back to you is through a window. And what you have on that window are things that you believe, principles that you operate your life on. It's how you filter information. Oftentimes we're going through life and we have principles. Where do they come from? The principles come from our parents. They come from our from things that we've heard from our teachers, things we've learned, things we've read, experiences. And we operate on those principles. But oftentimes, as we're operating through life, we don't step back and really see what's on our windows. And I'm asking you right now to be thinking about your own thinking in terms of how you see presentations. You see, oftentimes we operate with principles that are incorrect. And maybe as you're thinking about presentations, you may not be thinking about presentations the way you could or should. For example, let me give you this one little principle I often share. My parents, when I grew up, shared with me, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. And that is a principle that I thought was a correct principle. And I was operating my life as I grew up on that. And then I realized later on that was an incorrect principle. That in fact, names can hurt you. What people say can have a huge impact on who you are. So I ask you to think about, back to presentations for a minute. How do you see presentations? What's on your own window as regards to presentations? So here we go. Let's start with this. How many presentations would you say that you personally give in a given week? On average, ask yourself right now, if you had to come up with a number, what would be the number in your mind that you would say? How many presentations do you make in an average week? You know, I ask that question to many people all across the globe, and I hear 2, 5, 10, some people say 20. And a lot of people have to really think about, well, what do I believe? What do I understand about what he's saying about presentations? You see, I believe we make presentations virtually every waking hour of our life. We make presentations in person, one-on-one, in groups. The groups can be 3 people, 5 people, 10 people. We're presenting in meetings. Sometimes we stand up and present part of a meeting. Sometimes we run the entire meeting. Again, depending on where you're at in your life, you got to think about this. Over the phone, how many presentations do we make over the phone? We pick up the phone and we make a phone call. Sometimes it's dozens and even hundreds of phone presentations in a given week. When we make a phone presentation, half the time we're going to get voicemail. So we got to think about how many delayed presentations do we make by voicemail? How about this one? How about email? Do we present today by email? We're emailing all the time. In fact, we may be emailing hundreds of times every single day, a type of presentation that most people have not stepped back and thought about perfecting. And there's others such as web conferencing, which is a growing concern each and every day. Again, we make presentations all the time. Now ask yourself, what is in your presentation world? What's in your universe? Do you make sales presentations, opportunity type presentations? Do you make staff presentations? Do you make speeches? What are all the things that you do? Ask yourself right now, what are the most important types of presentations do you make each week? Do you present to your kids, to your spouse, to your friends? We're presenting all the time. Ask yourself how long those presentations are. Sometimes they're 10 or 15 seconds. Sometimes they may go for a minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour. Sometimes they may be all day. Do you do any type of training? Do you do any type of coaching, mentoring? Maybe it's to your kids. Maybe it's in business. I ask yourself right now to think about, what are the types of presentations that are part of your universe? Okay, so now from a 1 to 100, if you look at your universe, how would you rate your overall presentation effectiveness today? Would you say you're a beginner? Would you say you're in a meeting, in the middle? Or would you say you're really on the top end? You know what, from a 1 to 100, if you had to say, where am I at today? Are you at a 30, a 40, a 50? Maybe you're watching this today because you want to move that number up. And wherever you're at, I believe we should start by taking a good reflection of where we are today. Are we able to really reach our objectives when we're presenting? Again, whether it's on the phone, whether it's in business, whether it's personally, whether it's planned, whether it's impromptu, how effective are you? If you're exceptional, if you're really good and you reach your objectives virtually every time, put yourself way up there in the 90s. Ask yourself, where would you position yourself on that scale between 1 and 100? And wherever you're at, we want to help you move up that curve. You see, we think a lot of people operate their lives in what we call a basic level of presentation effectiveness. And that may be anywhere between 0 and, say, 40. And that's kind of a basic level. Matter of fact, many organizations operate, you may be thinking about what I'm sharing with you today from an organizational standpoint, and many people operate in the basic level in their organizations, and they get along just fine without perfecting. But could you be better? Because, see, some people in some organizations understand that if you operate and move up this curve into what we call an advance, maybe you're in the 50s or 60s or 70s or even 80s, and you're operating, you get a much higher impact. The curve keeps moving up. But what we like to help people do, what I've devoted my career to, is helping people move up into mastery, to that third level, to a level that not everybody sees, where you're talking about strategy and you're thinking about how people really process and you're able to communicate at a level that most people don't. So think right now for you. We want to help you move up that curve. Wherever you're at, from 1 to 100, we want to help you move up. So you want to move up that impact curve. A lot of people focus on delivery. They think that delivery is really where it's at, and absolutely the way you deliver, your body language and how you use your hands and all the different delivery mechanisms has a huge impact on your presentation effectiveness. But that's only half the puzzle. The other half is your preparedness. How ready are you? And for the next few minutes, we want to talk about both the delivery and the preparedness. How can you really, really be ready so that you can move up that curve to presentation mastery? Okay. So we want to talk about 8 simple practices. My colleagues and I have spent years studying the very best. What are the distinctions that allow people to really present at their very best, whether it be an individual or be from a company perspective? And we've come up with 60 specific practices. Today, we want to talk about 8 of those practices, 4 on the delivery, 4 on the preparedness. We want to cover them, and they're in a mnemonic. Now, matter of fact, you may even want to get a pen right now if you have the ability to do that. Grab a pen right now because I want to ask you to write a few things down. In these 8, we're going to talk about the I, the P, the R, the E, the S, the E, the N, and the T. Each one of those 8 items are reflected in this book as a separate chapter. And today we want to bring those to life for you. The first one, one of the most impactful principles, one of the most impactful practices that I can share with you is to make sure you involve the audience. Now ask yourself, have you ever been making a presentation where someone's lecturing to you, whether it be one person or whether it be three or 300? People do not want to be lectured to. People want to be communicated with. They want to have engagement. They want to have involvement. We all want to have that involvement. And I ask you, whether you're presenting to your kids, to your subordinates, to a prospect, to someone that's a colleague, to a neighbor, involvement is something that can work. Again, from a kid perspective, can you get someone involved if you're working with your child in the back seat? Absolutely, if you know how to do it. How do you do it? A few things I'd like to share with you. Jot this down. Ask questions. One of the great things that you can do to add to your presentation mentality, your thinking, one of the practices I'd like to share with you is to make sure you ask questions. Getting that involvement by asking questions right from the very beginning. What's the second thing you can do? You can have the audience write things down. Get the pens out and have them write things down, just like I ask you to do. When people are writing things down, there's involvement. There's a connection. Now, there's something else that happens. When you're making a presentation in person and people are writing things down, what happens? The eyeballs go where? They go down. When the eyeballs are going down, what does that do for you? It gives you a breathing space. Oftentimes when we're presenting, we want to be more confident, right? We talked about that at the beginning. The way we become more confident is to make sure that we have control, that we take the unknowns to the known, and we understand what's coming next. If we have those little breathing spaces where we have the audience involved and the eyeballs are down off you. So people writing things down, eyeballs are down, you get a breathing space for 5 or 10 seconds. What else can we do to get those breathing spaces? Can we have someone watch someone else? Sure, we can have someone be involved, come on up to the front, or maybe have them stand up, or have them join in on a call and be able to communicate. And then what that does is that gets the attention off us and gives us a chance to breathe for a minute. Simple things. I discovered this process about 6 or 7 years ago, working with some executives, and we actually started the concept off by showing video clips, little 2 and 3 minute video clips. So if you give speeches or you're thinking about presentation from a standpoint of formal, more thought out type presentations, think about if you're speaking for an hour, do you put in little video clips that will give you a breathing space, keeping that audience involved and giving you a chance to digest, look at the entire environment, and be able to be your very best. So bottom line, involve your audience. Lots of benefits. All right, let's move on to the P. The P in the I present model is to make sure that you prepare your audience. And I want to give you 4 specific things that I believe will help you prepare your audience. Now, you know, a lot of people, when they think about preparing their audience, they think about from the very beginning. And what is the beginning? The beginning, oftentimes in a meeting, the beginning is when you invite someone to a meeting. So if you're holding some type of presentation and you ask someone to be there, maybe you email them and ask them, or maybe you're calling them up, or maybe someone else is asking them, I ask you, is your invitation benefit rich? That's what I'd like you to write down right now. Is your invitation, or make sure that your invitation is benefit rich. Give people the benefits for showing up for your meeting, for showing up to hear your presentation. Even again, if it's on a personal basis, make sure you open and invite people with a good benefit. What else can you do? If you show up to a meeting and maybe it's a sales presentation or an opportunity or a staff meeting, we want to begin touching people before you actually formally talk. You see, a lot of times people say, well, I got a meeting at 10 o'clock, and they wait till it's like, you know, 10 o'clock, and then they start talking. But what can you do beforehand? You can go up and you can shake people's hands. Matter of fact, you can even invite a few people ahead of time. Let's say that you're presenting for roughly, a 30-minute presentation. And let's say you're making a presentation where you want to influence people. And let's say you've got about 10 people. Can you invite 1 or 2 of those people to show up early? Absolutely. When they show up early, can you begin touching them or talking to them before you formally start? So if you get a 10 o'clock meeting, have them show up at 9:45, begin talking with them, touching them, if you will, getting your voice warmed up, and then getting them warmed up to hear your message. Now, those 10 people, 1 or 2 people is connected to you already, and then when you start into your 10, all 10 are there, they're more prepared, you're more prepared. Think about it in a large setting. You're giving a talk to hundreds of people, and I know some of you perhaps are thinking about that right now, where you'd like to be more confident and connected to an audience of a larger size. Oftentimes, going down and shaking people's hands at the beginning of a particular event can allow you to touch them and get a few people that are shaking their heads yes for you. Okay, the third item I want to talk about in terms of preparing your audience is a huge one. It's what we call the host introduction. The host introduction. Have you ever seen it where someone is is presenting and they're introducing someone else. Let's say you're going on to a presentation and someone says, well, now, here's Bill. He's going to talk to us today. Now, that's not a very good introduction. Verse, here's Bill. Let me tell you a little bit about Bill's background. And they talk to you about Bill's background, how he's been in the business for 18, 20 years. They talk about some of the things that he's done to prepare for the actual talk itself. And then what they do is they actually say, let's give Bill a hand as we turn it over to him, perhaps. We encourage you to set up and really leverage a good, strong host introduction so the audience is prepared to hear either you or the presenter. Think about it for a second. Oftentimes, I encourage my clients to have what we call a bio card, a card that you can hand to someone so that that someone can introduce you and get you off to a right start. When someone says the right things before you begin talking, you are more prepared, and so is the audience, to know not only your background, but what you've done specifically to help them be able to, whatever the message is going to be. Okay, number four is open with a solid payoff. Remember in the old days, it used to be features, advantages, benefits. Maybe you've heard that in the past. People would open with that and end with the benefits. I believe today it's important, if we want to prepare our audience to hear our message, is to give them the benefit up front. Let people know what the benefit is to them. Matter of fact, we teach a concept, and you may want to jot this down. We teach a concept called the three P's. When you're opening, to really open with strength, you open with the process, you open with, here's the purpose. Make sure you share the purpose, because today people want to make sure you're clear on why they're there, what's the objectives. Next is the process. People want to know where you're going, the process, like you know that we're going to be talking about all eight of these practices. And then finally, make sure you give the payoff. The payoff is the benefit. Make sure you give the benefit or the payoff right up front. So there you have it. Benefit-rich invitation. Touch them before you talk when you can. Make sure you have a good, strong host introduction and open with a solid payoff. Okay, let's go to the R. The R is to make sure and research and have a great presentation arsenal. You may be asking yourself, what in the world is he talking about by a presentation arsenal? I believe there's four types of arsenals that are very common that we all pretty well have, and I'd like to talk to you about those for a moment and ask you to expand your belief, your thinking about this concept of a presentation arsenal. The first one that I like to talk about is your mental arsenal. What are the things that you keep in your mind? When we're presenting, let's say that you're on a cruise ship, and on the cruise ship at night you're watching a magician, or you're watching a play, or you're watching some musical, and you watch how the people on the stage are connecting with their audience, and all of a sudden you see a one-liner, or you see some type of mannerism, and you go, wow, I need to remember that because I can do that same thing. You see, often in life, we can be looking at different things, and we can be gathering things that would help us be able to have things that we can use for our future presentations. So I encourage you, make sure you have a good mental arsenal. Make sure you grow in your mental arsenal. That can be statistics that you keep in your mind. It can be one-liners that you use, all different types. Okay, now let's talk about the hard copy arsenal, the second of the two types of arsenals I'd like you to be thinking about. A hard copy arsenal are things that you keep in your briefcase, or you keep in a file cabinet, or you keep in your desk, things that you can pull from to help you prepare and deliver more effectively. For example, have you ever had a magazine article come into your life and you read the article and you go, wow, that would be something valuable for me to use in the future? You set the magazine down and the magazine floats out of your life. Has that ever happened to you? What we want to encourage you to do, if that magazine floats out of your life, that article floats out of your life, and you don't have the use of that article in the future, we want to encourage you to tear those little articles out and organize them and build a great hard copy arsenal. Things that you can keep and use. Oftentimes, I'll even use like a legal pad that I'll pull out of my briefcase as part of my arsenal. You want to build an arsenal that allows you to be your very best. Number three is an electronic arsenal, things that you keep on your computer, or things that you might keep in your PDA. For example, when I'm in church, oftentimes I'll hear ideas and I'll write things down in my PDA and save them and organize them so I can pull from them and use them more effectively in the future. Finally, number four is your material arsenal, things that you want to keep up with. Like what I like to do is give away samples or props, and I give away samples of money. I print off the money and I give it away to people. Perhaps yourself, you may want to have some type of sample that you keep available for you to be able to help bring out of your arsenal and bring into your message so you're delivering with impact. Okay, let's move on next to the explain the why. The E in the I present is to make sure that we explain the why. Look for, when possible, share the why and the reason that you're delivering or the reason you're asking people to do things. A couple of different ways that we can do that. We can use the word because, or we can use the term so that to help trigger us to make sure we give the why. If we say, da-da-da-da, because, and then we finish our sentence, that will help us make sure that we explain the why, which allows us to be more impactful. And we believe in all types of presentations, if you leverage that why, if you give people the reason, you'll be more effective. Okay, let's move on to the next one now. State management. State management applies in two different areas. We want to make sure ourselves that we're in the right mental state. You see, people sense if we're confident. They sense if we're in that right state. So what do we need to do? We need to make sure that we wear the clothes that we're comfortable with. We need to make sure that we're early. We make sure we own the environment, that we got ourselves in the right mental state so we can deliver our message. Whether it's a phone call, we want to be in the right mental state, and sometimes that might be standing up, or whether it's a presentation where we listen to some music to get us in the right mental state. And then the other side to the puzzle is to make sure your audience is in the right mental state. Have you ever been presenting to your audience and you have an audience member, let's say that you've got 10 or 20 or 30, 50 audience members, and a few of them are just like vacationing on you? They're like laid back on the hammock and they're drinking their pineapple drink and they're just like, you know, they're there. They're not troublemakers, but they're really not into what you're saying. They're just vacationing. Sometimes we have vacationers, don't we? Well, how about this one? Sometimes we have prisoners, those folks that flat don't want to be there. You ever seen that? I know we all have. And how about this next one? Have you ever seen this? The graduate, the guy, or the lady that knows it all? Well, you take those first three, and we don't really want people to be in the graduate mentality. We don't want them to have the mental mindset of really being a prisoner or vacationer. What we want is for them to be a student. Whether they're actually physically taking out a pen and writing things down, or they're mentally doing it, we want people to be in the student mentality, so they want to hear our message, so they want to digest our message. So I ask you to be familiar with the state management. Make sure that you're right in the right mental state, and make sure you do everything you can to bring the people you're presenting to that student mentality. Again, think about your own universe, whether it's presenting to your child, whether it's presenting to your spouse, whether it's presenting to someone in a business setting. Make sure you do everything you can to bring people into student mentality. All right, next let's talk about eliminating the unknowns, turning the unknowns into knowns. Almost everybody wants to be more confident when they're presenting. Whether it's 20 people, 200 people, 2,000, or 20,000 people, you got a lot of eyeballs looking at you, and you want to be more confident. What's the secret? How do we take and get people, how do we take ourselves and get ourselves in that position so that we are really, really confident? Everything I've studied really boils down to the concept of taking the unknowns to the known. How do we really do that? Well, let's think for a minute. If we're walking into a room and we don't know what the room's like, can we show up early, walk around the room so we become familiar with the room? Sure. Can we call ahead and ask someone to tell us about the room so we understand that room setup? The chairs. Can we understand who's going to be there? Can we understand and rehearse? Can we go through our slides? Can we go through our handouts? Can we go through all the little pieces that we're not sure about and take those unknowns to the known? If we do that, and we do it right, we're going to take the unknowns to the known and be more confident. Now, I'd like to share with you a short story. I was walking through my home a few months ago. Actually, it's been quite a few months ago. And I'm walking through my home, and I walk through one doorway, and whammo! I get shocked when I walk in this room. And what I see is my daughter, and my daughter is actually presenting to what you see on the screen. Think about it. She's presenting to a room full of dolls. And she'd heard me over the years, you need to take the unknowns to the known, you need to rehearse, and you need to really become aware of your audience. And she was doing just that. The next day at school, what was she doing? She was actually rehearsing because she was going to be a host for a mock wax museum type set up, and she wanted to make sure that she really knew her audience. So I ask you to do the same thing, you know. And so let's move on to the next one. In the I Present model, we need to make sure that we know our audience. Now, you'll notice that the know starts with a K, so we're going to ask you for a little mnemonic license there. And I'd like to walk through three specific things that I believe can help you really be more prepared and know your audience. Number one is to make sure you survey your audience. Now, what does that mean? That means that we can send an email out ahead of time and get feedback. What we've built in my business when I go out and make presentations for a specific pre-planned opportunity is we send out a template ahead of time, and that template allows us to get feedback back and understand specifically what the audience is thinking about my talk. So I understand them. I understand their thinking. So for you, if you give a similar type presentation, you could do that same thing. You could think through and create a template if you're giving a presentation over and over and over and use that same template. What else can we do? We can discuss with others who know our audience and get that feedback from them, calling people up and asking them, even if it's one important person that you're presenting to, if you call someone else up and ask them about the person you're presenting to, taking that unknown to the known and really knowing that person. And of course, talking to the audience themselves to get to know them, calling someone ahead of time on the phone so you get to know them before you actually presenting to them in person can be very valuable. So survey your audience, discuss with others, and actually talk to the audience themselves. Okay, let's move over to the last piece of the 8% in the I Present model. The last principle, the last practice I'd like to share with you is to tailor your presentation throughout. Be flexible and be ready to adjust. I'd like you to write down a concept right now called planned spontaneity. And what I encourage you to do is to make sure that you're so planned and so prepared that you can be spontaneous, because different things happen. Think about it. What happens. People come in late. People leave early. They get a phone call. Something gets spilled. There's all kinds of things that happen in real life, and we need to make sure that we are able to tailor our message. Even sometimes people will ask us a question, and we've got to adjust and tailor our message so we're able to reach our objectives. So there you have it, 8 specific items, 8 specific practices that we would encourage you to take to heart, to make part of who you are. 4 on the delivery, 4 on the preparation. Make sure you take those 8 to heart. So develop some good habits. Put these practices into part of your life. Make them part of who you are. Make them part of your own organization. So in closing, think about when we began today. We said on a 1 to 100, where are you at today? Are you at a 30, a 40, a 50, a 60? And I know some of you are at a 70 or 80 or maybe even a 90. And we want to help push you up that curve. Take to heart the things that we've shared and operate with presentation mastery.